Welcome to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast. On this show, we bring people from the real estate community to hear some of their struggles, pains, and even losses during their real estate journey. Our whole goal is to share these stories so that if you find yourself in a similar situation, you know how to work your way through it and head towards success. I'm your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vendu Capital. Let's jump straight into the interview. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast. I'm excited and honored to have Remington here today. Remington, how are you?
Great, Cody. Thanks for having me.
Oh man, I really appreciate you making some time for us and the audience. Remington, before we jump into it, I know we had a good discussion before we hit record. If you don't mind giving us a little bit about yourself, where you're at, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Yeah, so name is Remington Lyman. I was born in Connecticut. And then came to Ohio to attend the Ohio State University, got recruited here for the rifle team, majored in finance, minored in economics. When I graduated, I got a job at JP Morgan, started working as kind of like an ops role, consumer underwriting, underwrote, ultra high net worth clients. My group was financial sponsors, all the hedge fund principals. So I'd spread their tax returns and their personal financial statements. I kind of noticed they all owned some form of real estate in addition to their day jobs, obviously running their hedge funds. So that kind of got me the idea of starting to house hack. So I purchased a duplex with a business partner, my old college roommate. And immediately after doing that, we quickly realized our first goal was to maybe purchase another property after 2 years. But we quickly realized after we rented out our additional rooms at on our side and rented out the other side, we were actually cash flowing positive while living rent free. So then my business partner did his first time home buyer loan on a 4 unit and started making a good chunk of cash flow while building equity with appreciation and forced renovation and kind of snowballed into that. So yeah, that's kind of my background. Now I'm a full-time agent and help primarily out-of-state investors get started with the Midwest markets, Columbus, Ohio.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate that. And I know hearing about a little bit about the story you're going to tell our audience today, it's kind of interesting how you got into the real estate market. Would you mind kind of expanding on that? Let our audience know like how that came to light and what was the challenge that came up to ultimately force you into this?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. So I've always been a little bit of an entrepreneur, and it was pretty limiting working at JP Morgan. I mean, it kind of got a procedure and had to do it. And then along with that, one of our roles was training an offshore team that could work at a fraction of our costs, and then they would eventually lay off people. So while I was doing that, I kind of saw the writing on the wall and was like, okay, I should probably start investing in some real estate so I have some other income coming in, maybe some other assets other than my full-time job. You know, I'm 100% concentrated in cash flow in my 9-to-5 job, my W-2. So that's super, super risky being 100% concentrated in anything in life. They always taught me in real estate or in my finance classes to be diversified, have a diverse portfolio with your investments. Why not have a diverse portfolio with your income? So that's where I kind of got the idea of investing in real estate and picked up a couple owner occupants and built to a portfolio with my business partner of about 10 units, all within like 0.4 miles of each other in like an A location. And that's when, sure enough, you know, trained an offshore team. As soon as the offshore team was up and running, they cut 3% globally of the asset management department. And I think I was probably one of the first interviews they did just because definitely wasn't giving my all working that 9-to-5 job.
Wow. So, I mean, you found you started early and kind of saw the writing on the wall. You needed to diversify there. You move into the real estate game and before you know it, unfortunately you're getting laid off, but you do have something in the pipe to help you kind of make the transition a little bit. For those that may be listening to this and wanting to maybe start dipping their toe in the water, maybe they're working that 9-to-5, they see the ability to have and diversify that income. What kind of advice would you want to give them or looking back to what you went through that could give them a leg up from anything that you had to kind of struggle with during that?
Yeah, so I wish I was way more aggressive back when I kind of got started. So we were very conservative with our plays, and I actually had an opportunity before I got laid off to get an FHA loan, which is moving into any property 1 to 4 units and doing 3.5% down, and your cash on cash return is just so great. But I had the inspection report, and I got in and got cold feet, and I terminated. And then sure enough, a few months later, I got laid off. So the great thing about working a 9-to-5 job is most of the time you're going to be W-2 income, which means that you're on a set pay. And the W-2 income in the eyes of a lender, because a lender's selling their mortgages that they get from you to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae, those third-party mortgage companies have strict underwriting guidelines. And for some reason, they hold W-2 income very, very high. So you can actually get a job offer and take that to a lender and say, hey, I'm about to get W-2, and they will lend based on that income immediately. Whereas working a 1099 job, you will actually have to file taxes and realize that income for 2 years. So it can take you 2.5-3 years to get lended on that. So, you know, if you're a California tech worker, or, you know, in New York, in the financial industry, I would highly recommend leveraging your W-2. You can do up to 10 loans and start off with like a single family, turnkey single family in a Midwest market. You can pick those up from 50 to 150K. And those will typically be pretty turnkey single family, so low turnover. You'll get 30-year fixed rate notes at a very low interest rate. So you don't have any risk of that rate changing, and just kind of start off there. So yeah, just kind of be aggressive and leverage that W-2 as much as possible.
So that's interesting that you mentioned leveraging the W-2. I know a lot of the folks are moving to transition. They move to the 1099 approach for real estate to be more flexible and that sort of thing. But what you're saying is initially for you, having that W-2 is helpful to actually get into the game and get the loans that you need to go ahead and start your real estate career.
Yeah, definitely. Because as soon as I got laid off and started working full-time as a realtor and working commission, I mean, my debt to income in the eyes of the lender was just slashed to actually being negative, even though I was making more money as a realtor than I was
sure
working my 9-to-5.
Gotcha. Now, one thing you mentioned as well is looking outside of your own territory. For your first investments, it sounds like, were they close to home or outside of your kind of normal territory or driving distance?
Yeah, so the competitive advantage that I had over out-of-state buyers is all my investments were local. So with house hacking, obviously, house hacking, just kind of maybe back up and explain that. House hacking is when you get a primary resident note on a multifamily property, or it can be single family, but with the intention of actually renting out the extra bedrooms or the extra units. And so you can actually become a landlord on your primary resident and get that experience. It's nice because I can do 3% down conventional. There's first-time home buyer programs that are better than FHA on that. And I can bring $15,000 down to a $300,000 four unit, actually rent up the other three units and cash flow maybe $1,000 day one while living rent free, where the out-of-state buyers don't have that. So you kind of have to bridge the gap. Fortunately for the out-of-state buyers, typically they're high net worth individuals that work in tech or finance who have the money to spend. So that's okay for them to put 25% down on even a $100,000 home. That's 25 grand they have to bring to closing. On top of any closing fees. Obviously that's way more than I had to bring down, but yeah, they have that. So my first three purchases were actually within 0.4 miles of each other. So I could go on a light run, not very good at running. So they have to be pretty close and check on all my properties every day. So that was also really, really great too, because starting out, you run into some challenges and I was self-managing. So having that convenience was definitely a factor that helped me succeed.
So I hear a lot of folks
starting out and not trying to go too far. And like you said, if you have the net worth and can do it and have the resources to go out of state, out of your territory, perfectly fine. But if you don't, it's a great way to get started, get your real estate career started, understand the ups and downs and the challenges of signing a deal, you know, house hacking and going through that process and leveraging that to understand to what you can do beyond your actual territory, but staying in your area currently could be a huge benefit and being able to check on things, understand where things are at and keep up to date on that kind of stuff.
Huge benefit.
Cool. Well, you know, it's unfortunate you got laid off, but it sounds like you were able to pivot. You already had the mindset in place to go in, look into a different career, which ended up being real estate. You were already on that mindset, that track. So that while that sounds like it's an unsuccess story, turns out to be something really good for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, it definitely was. And it's very scary leaving that W-2 job. You know, you got healthcare, you got guaranteed money coming in. But yeah, if you can make the jump and if you have the, you know, the least amount of interest in or a little bit of interest in sales, it's definitely going to be fruitful for you.
Perfect. Well, Remington, I know you're a busy person. You got a lot of stuff on your plate. I really appreciate the time today. I know I learned a lot. I hope our audience did too. For those that maybe want to follow up or connect with you, what's the best way to find you on the net? And then how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me on Bigger Pockets, just Remington Lyman. You can email me at remington@reefco.com. Or you can also follow me on Instagram. That's realtor_Remington.
Perfect. Well, Remington, thanks again. And thanks to our audience for listening. We'll catch everyone next time.
Thanks, Cody.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast. I'm excited and honored to have Remington here today. Remington, how are you? Oh, man, I really appreciate you making some time for us and the audience. And for those that may be new to the podcast, we're here to learn from experiences from folks like Remington here to understand that there's always ups and downs in the real estate game. And what we want to know and find out is how can we learn from those experiences that others have gone through?